I call this meeting to order. This is the special session of the Mayor and Council of the City of Bisbee, County of Cochise, and State of Arizona, to be held on Thursday, August 30th, 2018, at 5:01 p.m. in the Cochise County Board of Supervisors Hearing Room, 1415 Melody Lane, Building G, Bisbee, Arizona. Ms. Coronado, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Anna Klein. Councilmember Joan Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Frank Davis.
Here.
Mayor David M. Smith.
Here.
Councilmember Bill Higgins.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Douglas Dunn.
Here.
Councilmember Gabe Lindstrom is excused. City staff, Robert Smith, City Manager, Ashley Coronado, City Clerk, Dwayne Wallace, Interim Operations Manager, Britt Hanson, City Attorney.
Thank you, ma'am. We have a abbreviated special session agenda for tonight. And first of all, I'd like to welcome everybody here. We are actually doing some filming, which will then be uploaded to YouTube, correct, Ms. Coronado?
Yes.
Manana?
Mm-ish.
Okay, well, that was a question mark at the end of that.
Yes. Well,
right.
Yes.
Within a couple days. Thank you, ma'am. Item number one, discussion of possible approval of a park facility and right-of-way use permit for the city of for the city park for the Blues in Bisbee to benefit Easter Seals Blake Foundation on Saturday, September 8, 2018, from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m., and to have access to the park on Friday, September 7th, 2018 at 5 p.m. to park a trailer. Council, this has come about because, as many people know, information was put out that the Blues Festival this particular year had been canceled, which it had. And we found that we had a large number of lodging establishments that were losing reservations very, very quickly, which was going to affect our tax situation as well as their bottom line. And so they did get together with me, and I suggested a large group, and we suggested that this could be done on a much smaller scale. And so that's what we have before us. The Easter Seals Blake Foundation is underwriting the majority of this, and the proceeds from this will be going to that association. And that's basically the bottom line. Are there questions? We have somebody here that can answer instead of me babbling about it in case someone else has questions. Any questions, Mr. Higgins?
Not a question, but a comment. I'm amazed that they put this together as quickly as they did. And I'm yeah. And having said that, I move to that we approve the park facility and right-of-way use permit for the use of City Park for the Blues in Bisbee benefiting Easter Seals Blake Foundation on Saturday, September 8, 2018 from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. and to have access to the park on Friday, September 7th, 2018 at 5 p.m. to park a trailer.
I second.
We have a motion, we have a second. Betsy, I see your name here and I skipped over it, I apologize. Is there anything you want to say before we vote on this? I'm not sure that it's needed, but that's up to you. All right. Yeah. Great. Great, thank you. All those in favor, Ms. Coronado, would you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Hanson?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously, 5-0. And it has been signed. The liquor license application is next.
The next item.
Okay. And this item number two is discussion of possible approval of a special event liquor license application submitted by Easter Seals Blake Foundation for an event to be held at City Park, 60 Brewery Avenue, Bisbee, Arizona, on Saturday, September 8th, 2018, from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. Dinah Scalone, applicant. Any questions? This is for the same event.
I move to approve that the special event liquor license application submitted by the Easter Seals Blake Foundation for an event to be held at City Park located at 60 Brewery Avenue, Bisbee, Arizona, on Saturday, September 8th, 2018, from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. We have a motion. We have a second. Do we have any further discussion? Hearing none. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, we really mean not to approve this after we approved the first one.
Oh, it's happened.
Yeah.
Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Hanson?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously, 5-0. Thank you very much. We're really looking forward to this event, and you will see a number of us there. So, thank you. Yeah, grab that and get it to Phoenix.
Yes.
Item number three, discussion of possible approval to purchase a digital controller and protection boxes for the dissolved oxygen, that's DO, probes from Hatch, the manufacturer. Mr. Wallace, Interim Operations Manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. We're actually asking to purchase two dissolved oxygen probes for the wastewater plant, the control boxes and the protection boxes. This is the sole source provider. This is from the manufacturer. These are the ones that are installed on the plant. And these are top of the line. We're really trying hard not to skip on the expense when it comes to things like this. There are no other people, there are distributors for this, but not directly from the company. So that's why we recommend approval on this purchase.
Thank you, sir. Any questions, Council?
I have a question. Are the ones that we have now not inoperable, or are these for spares?
They're getting old, and also, when the plant was built, some of the technology that's around now wasn't around then. As such, these were exposed to the sun. So over time, the actual meters that tell you how much oxygen is in the water have become unable to read. And with the SCADA, which had been inoperable, but it's now up, we just got that installed the other day, we couldn't tell without looking at one other panel what the actual level of oxygen is in the water. And that's how our entire process is based on how much oxygen is in the sewage coming in.
Okay, so you're going to be replacing
them. Replacing them. And in fact, this also has a service contract attached to it. So they will come and do a calibration once a year. The works. You know, we went ahead with the full package on this one.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks, sir. Anything else? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the purchase of a digital controller and protection boxes for the dissolved oxygen DO probes from Hatch, the manufacturer.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Hanson?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes 5-0, unanimous. Item number four. I'm going to give a fairly short presentation. There's some people signed up. Do you want to speak before this presentation or after? Mr. Edwards?
After.
All right. Ms. Giacomino, both?
Same thing.
I'm sorry?
Same.
Okay. After. And Ms. Anderson?
After.
All right. Okay. By way of background, real quick, I certainly don't have to remind people of the fire at City Hall, but I do want to remind people as to why I'm here talking about this. And the reason that I'm here talking about this is because this dealing with insurance companies and fire claims, et cetera, is something that I do almost daily for the last close to 40 years. And so the city manager had asked me to please work with finance and legal in running this particular aspect of it, because I simply had a little, a bit of a leg up on some of the methods that insurance companies may employ in paying of claims. And so for that reason, thus my involvement. This obviously, I want to give you a full accounting of the insurance to date. And this, the only thing that will change on this is, as of yesterday, I received a phone call from the original construction demo company that the shoring that they have done on the outside walls to stabilize them, that there's going to be something owed on that, but we don't know what that is yet, and it's not going to be a tremendous amount of money. But so that would be the only change that I'm aware of. So when we're looking at this, the insurance breaks down into many different areas, and the black is, hopefully you would see that this is. Is there any way can everybody see that, or do we need the lights down just a tad? Are we good in the back? Okay. All right. So the numbers in black obviously are positive numbers. The numbers in red in parentheses are negative numbers, numbers that have been spent. So on December 11th of 2007, we received the first check for demolition, and this was to take care of. It was written to us, and it was signed on the back, basically, and sent right to the demo company. And it provides that amount. And then on July 24th of 2008, we received the additional proceeds up to policy limits, meaning this is the maximum that the policy was written for. And so you put those two numbers together, that's the policy, and then you can see that the the figures in red are what was taken out of these content salvage and the building demolition funding. So you can see that there's asbestos removal. We've discussed this previously, but it was $32,718, and we had coverage for $10,000. And so we spent $22,000 of our own money. But in reality, it wasn't our own money. It was money that still was owing us from the insurance company. But it did reduce the total amount that we would receive from the insurance company by that $22,000. And then we had the demo services. Emergency services mean that's when they got there immediately to mitigate hazards and to get engineering in there to look at it and so forth. Those are all emergency services. And then content services, that is actually removing of the contents, cleaning them, getting them back to us in a clean form. And I say clean, I'm really, in some cases, talking about decontamination because of the asbestos and so forth. Every single page had to be wiped down and then dried and reassembled back the way it was. So that's what that takes care of. And then fences, that is fairly self-explanatory. We had to put a fence around it. It originally, under the emergency services, there was a temporary fence, as you all may remember, and that was paid for out of that funding, and then our permanent fence was then under fence. And then we had used the middle school, as you remember, to sort records and set up an emergency location, and we had to clean it afterwards. And cleaning is a major undertaking because it has to be ozoned, so they tape everything off, they tarp it with plastic, and then they shoot ozone in there for over a 24-hour period to kill off everything. And so that's why that expense. And then we have mobile storage. And so the total, after we deduct for the money that we receive from them and all of our deductions, we have $138,237.10 in the bank. The contents. We had a $200,000 limit on the contents, and we received a check on July 24th for $200,000, and we had previously spent $63,511.92. And you might remember, and it still happens once in a while, where when we do accounts payable, it'll say fire insurance repayment or something along those lines. And so this would be things like even pencils and paper and things along these lines. So if you take the 200,000, you take out what we've spent, we have 136,488.08 in the bank. Then building replacement. The building's actual cash value was $1,254,455. That's the ACV. We got that amount plus in December 21st, and as you remember, that's been sitting in the bank. That we called it the 1.2 million building fund. And then on July 24th, we received the last payment of $587,545, which was then, that is policy limits. That's the most we can get. And we have paid engineering services. As you recall, we had requested structural engineers to go in to make sure it could the building be saved, couldn't it be saved, how bad was it, asbestos. Evaluation, all of these kind of things, and that came to almost $20,000. So if you take the $20,000 from the amount that we have received, then it gives us 1.8 million plus change, which is in the bank. And then rental space. We had a policy limit of $50,000 for rental space. That's where we're at now. And on December 21st of 2017, they advanced payment to us for $25,200. And then on July 24th, we got the policy limit of $24,800, which made the $50,000. Our rental through June of 2018 is $33,806. And so this leaves us $16,193.79 for the future rent here, which is about $4,200 a month, as I recall, $4,200 a month. So you can see we've got 4 months more there before we start money out of our pocket. So the point is right now that $16,193.79 is in the bank. Then we have our IT, our information technology. On July 24th of 2018, we received a check for $45,772.64. And we have spent to date on IT support $4,775, which leaves us $40,997.64 in the bank. The computer replacement is replacement cost. So we actually went through, the staff went through every computer, every monitor, every printer, everything that we had, marking down the serial number and the model number and everything else, excuse me, as well as they could because of saved paperwork. And that is what the insurance company pays under a replacement cost. Interestingly enough, computer replacement costs on other things when you have replacement that you want replacement cost in your insurance, because typically things go up in price. Computer stuff actually goes down in price. So typically your replacement cost, you're not getting as much money as it cost to buy it originally. So we have a total of $40,997.64 in the bank. And then our vehicle replacement. We had November 29th, we got a check for $2,200 to replace the Grand Prix. And July 17th of 18, we got a check for $6,032 to replace the Jeep for a total of $8,235.69, which is in the bank. And what this does is our total reimbursement for our insurance is $2,646,708.33. And to date, we have paid $509,333.56. So right now, we have $2,137,374.77 in the bank waiting for our new building and furnishings for that building. So that's $2.1 million after expenses so far that's sitting there. So this building, we need a new home. The county has been extremely generous to us, just like using this room. But the fact is we are living kind of out of a suitcase. Our staff is living out of cardboard boxes still. Some of the desks are nothing more than a table with cardboard boxes underneath them. And we need our place with our stuff. And so with that, we started a search of different properties throughout the Bisbee area. And I'm going to go through each one of these real quickly. But as you can see, it's the Bisbee High School. That would be the old high school downtown. The Alco Shopping Center, the County Complex, where we are right now, County Complex land, which is adjacent to us here, the Lowell Middle School, Bisbee Middle School, Freeport-McMoran Soils Building in Lowell, and 915 Toverville Road and 118 Arizona Street is our old home. I am more than willing to take anybody else's comments about potential buildings because I think that we've spent a lot of time on this and I think that we're just pretty much as narrowed down any even potentials, but I'm going to go through these one by one real quick. The first one's Bisbee High School. This is the old high school. I think the county would love for us to buy this from them. The fact is, though, it's restricted parking. It's downtown, if you will, old Bisbee. It's too large. It is enormous. And the expense to bring it up would be tremendous. It would exhaust all of the money that we have just to bring it up to code and because of the size of this building. And then it would remain after that, what do we do with all of this? Because it's probably 10 times the size it's needed. The next is the Alco Shopping Center. We have initially, the woman that owns this has contacted me on many occasions, and she's a very nice lady living in Texas. She wanted the city to buy this. Over a period of time, she dropped the price. She dropped the price to $1 million. That included everything but Safeway. It included all the parking, and it included 11 acres to the south of this, which, interestingly enough, is right next to our 8-acre parcel. So that would have given the city 19 acres with which we could have looked at senior housing and in conjunction with the senior center being right there. But as soon as it dropped to $1 million, several offers came in. And the fact is as a city trying to get information out to the public, get public input back in, RFPs, all this other sort of stuff, it became impossible for us to compete. Even if it's something that we would have wanted to do, we couldn't compete. And so it, in fact, was purchased by a group out of Tucson that I happen to have leased from for 10 years in Tucson years ago. It is a good group, and they have a really great track record for shopping centers, by the way. So it's something that they don't buy, something that they don't believe that they can develop. So this is really good for Bisbee, I think, as a sideline. As an example, they have the shopping center where the old lumber company used to be at in Sierra Vista on the corner by just north of Fry's. And where the Chinese restaurant is and all that, they're putting in that big new building. They're renovating all of that. So it's Larson Baker, and it seems to be a good, aggressive company. And certainly when I dealt with them directly as a tenant, they were very, very good to work with. So the only reason I'm bringing that up is I think that the fact is that it was sold, and it sold to these guys, I think, is a plus for us. I think, like I said, they don't deal in properties they don't think they're going to get something out of.
Just out of curiosity, could you just say the name of the company?
I did, Larson Baker.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Larson. It's two names, Larson Baker.
Okay.
Yeah, you're welcome.
This was where Sutherland used to be?
Yes. Yes, sir. Okay, then with this Alco Shopping Center, the fact is this Alco building itself was too large. It was 22,000 square feet. When we walked into this thing, it's enormous. And really what we need is 9 to 10,000 square feet. So we looked at the potential of occupying the bank and the insurance offices as tenants, and that would be about 5,000 square feet. But it's a lease. It provides us no ownership. There is ample parking. And down the road, they let me know that 11 acres that I just mentioned a few minutes ago could be open to us as an option for our purchase down the road if something attractive comes along in the senior housing area. So that part has not been lost. The next is the Cochise County Complex. We actually have talked to Cochise County about staying at this complex and actually taking over an entire building, because the county has been talking about moving people around and consolidating into buildings. And the problem with that is the county's not ready to commit on this yet. Supervisors at this particular point want to have a game plan in place where the entire county gets shifted around at once, looking at Benson as a rising population base in Sierra Vista. So they don't want to continue move somebody one place and then 2 years later move them some other place. So they're just simply not ready to make that decision. The location, some people believe it's too far out, and I, coming from a larger city, but having lived here a period of time, I understand that now. If you had said that to me, 5 years ago, I would have come on, it's 10 minutes, but nevertheless, I understand that now. But also, I received this feedback about identity perception of identity, and the fact that we're in a county building, and we are a city, and we want our own identity, and we don't want to be part of the county. Even if we had our own building, it provides some people an idea that we're part of the county, and we're not. We're independent. So that would be a problem. So the vacant land, we can talk to the county and no doubt buy a parcel of land. This is the road on the way in that you all drove on. And you're looking straight instead of turning off to the left. And this is just one area that would be a potential. But again, it's the location. We're out further than most people want us to be. There are some drainage issues. There are the construction costs. If we start at ground zero, then it's going to be a very expensive proposition. And again, the proximity to the county complex. Are we part of the county? Are we our own deal? So the Lowell Middle School. This was brought up. I've discussed this with Mr. Woody. It hasn't even been brought to the school board or whatever, I'm sure, because it wasn't a real viable option. It's something that we could discuss a year from now. And what that discussion centered around was taking Lowell Middle School and having the sixth grade go back to Greenway and having the seventh and eighth grade go to the high school, since the high school was being underutilized, and actually turning one of the wings into the high school into a middle school. and then this having this huge building. But the problem is this building, once more, wouldn't be potentially available until next summer, even if everything worked perfectly. It's too large, and we would still be sharing some of those facilities with the school district, such as the gymnasium and so forth. And so this just really, this was brought up because it's a historic building, but in reality, it's just, it has too many moving parts, in my opinion. Then we have Bisbee Middle School, and Bisbee Middle School right now is being occupied by BUSD administration. And down the road, there's other plans to perhaps move some of the other functions for the Bisbee Unified School District into that building. And it would be shared facilities, and at this point, it's really too small. At this particular point, there's 5 classrooms that would be available in total for City Hall, and it's just not big enough. Again, the school district did a great job for us in our time of need of bringing us in on an emergency basis and providing us space. But it's just really something that, again, we need our own identity. We need to be out on our own and doing our own thing, I believe. Then we have the FMI Soils Building. This is actually too small. It's only 4,000 square feet. It would require extensive renovation because the basement is wide open. It's unfinished. And the further expansion would require demolition of adjacent structures. We get into those adjacent structures. Now we're back into the asbestos world, and we're into all of these other issues. And even with, we have an excellent relationship with FMI, and I'm sure that we get a heck of a deal on this, but the bottom line is there's just so many moving parts that I personally don't think that this would be a great idea. So then we have 915 Toverville Road. This, for some of you, this is across from the landfill, across from the transfer station. And this is the juvenile facility, and used to be CASA.
You do not want that building, trust me. I worked in that building for 14 years.
And so this building is being looked at this will be a separate meeting where we discuss these further options. But we are looking at this building as on a long-term county lease for short-term occupancy while we're building a building or rehabbing a building. And that could later be used as a public works or police annex or public works annex, among other things. So we can receive these buildings from the county for on a long-term lease for a very small amount of money.
Can I just say something?
When was the last time you were in there?
The last time I was in there was about 5 years ago.
Okay. It's been occupied since, but go ahead.
I know it has been. However, the renovation of that building would cost you probably a lot more than what you're even going to pay for. The roof leaks. They could never fix the roof.
Okay.
There would be a lot of work that would have to be done in that building.
Okay, thank you.
So please have a good inspector out there if you decide to do.
Yeah, it has been, but thank you. All the roofs have been replaced. I'm sorry? So those are some options. And then the last option that I have researched up to this point is Home Sweet Home. And this is our home, original at 114 Arizona Avenue. 118. I don't know. 118. Thank you very much. That's what was wrong with me. I was at 114. Anyway. Okay. And The situation at this address is that by moving like we did, we were able to ascertain that it did not contain the amount of asbestos in the exterior walls as we were originally told. And so when an RFP went out for demolition, we were informed of that, which saved us about $600,000. The question is now, can the walls be utilized for a building, or can they not? So what I am asking, and because this is an important issue, normally RFPs just get issued, as most of us know, at the request of the mayor, the manager, or council member, several council members. But in this particular case, I'm asking for council's direction to staff that we issue an RFQ, an RFP. An RFQ is request for qualifications, and RFP, request for proposal, for architectural and design services with cost analysis. So what this means is one group might come in and say, we can save the walls by doing X, Y, and Z, and that will cost this amount. And then we propose that with your requirements of 9,000 square feet, and we would provide how many offices, we can provide this data, that this is what it would look like, and this is what the final cost will be based on their discussions and architects' discussions with contractors. And then the RFP is typically then awarded to that architectural firm or person who then draws up the plans and then are the project manager, with the RFP also having to be put out for the construction company. Does that make sense? So what I'm asking for at this point is council guidance to staff to put out an RFP or RFQ, RFP, under the guidelines that's on the council action form, and that it goes out ASAP. So, and provide a, Mr. Hansen, and something like this, a 30-day window is appropriate, is it not?
For a response to the RFP?
Yes, sir.
That depends on your architects. 30 days would be all right legally, but whether or not that's sufficient time for the architects to put something together, don't know.
Okay. But it would be appropriate to request that and then an the architects...
Oh, 30 days in order to get the RFP out.
No, after the RFP is out for the response.
For responses, yes.
Yes, sir. But the architects would have an ability to get a hold of us and say that's not enough time and that we could extend it. Is that correct? Or?
Well, ordinarily your procurement director would talk to the architects ahead of time and say, how much time do you need to put this together?
Okay, how do we know who they are until we put it out?
Because the procurement director would put out a notification of an intent to put out an RFP, and that would alert the architectural community to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I was just trying to move on this project.
Sure.
That's where I was going with that. So, but it would be appropriate for the council to direct staff to put out an RFQ, RFP under these guidelines. Then, all right, sir. Questions? First of all, questions, council.
So, thinking that we're going towards
development in the meantime. That's two separate issues. Two complete. Those are two separate issues, and I don't want to confuse those two. This is RFQ, RFP for that building, and depending on things coming in and so forth depends then on are we here, are we going to go somewhere else in the interim period, and then what those areas would be. Okay? Mr.
Mayor, RFQ would be the qualifications of the applicant in terms of who would be doing the work.
That's right.
Then it would be an RFP for design. and/or construction? I'm a little confused there.
Well, okay, here's how that goes, is the architect typically would say, this is the building that I would propose, and this, based on this building, I think we can save the walls, as an example, by using this method, and this would, the cost would be X. And the architect's cost is Y. Okay? And so the a different architect might say, we can't save the walls, and the cost is X, and this is the proposed building as I see it on that site, and my cost as an architect on this project is Y. And so we would be giving, this is RFQ, RFP for the architectural services, not for the construction, but the architectural services gives us a idea of what the construction costs are.
And would we be setting some parameters on this? I mean, there's different ways of approaching this project, I would think. I mean, I'm not an architect, but certainly there would be different ways of approaching this project. How would you sort through those?
Well, may I have one architect might say, I don't think we can save the walls, or I don't think it's cost efficient, and so here's my design. And another architect may say, I believe we can save the walls, and by using this method, and here's my design. And it's going to be up to us and these people as to which way we go.
Well, I was thinking of such things as whether you're planning to utilize all four walls.
Well, but
or parts of them.
Right, but that's the, and I'm not, I don't want to make it sound like I'm arguing. That's the whole point of, they're the experts in those areas, and they're going to provide whether we are saving four walls or three or two or none at all. We'll be receiving their proposals as architects as to what should be done with this building, rather than I'm not qualified to say to them, I want to save two walls, damn the cost. Do you see what I'm saying? They're the ones that are qualified.
Well, I think damn the cost is the part that I'm talking about here in terms of setting parameters.
Well,
I remember earlier meeting that we had with architects and so forth, and certainly it was intriguing to architects, you know, this what we have here. And so
yeah,
there were certainly lots of ideas in terms of brainstorming with us as to what could be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, building a glass structure inside and the park, da-da-da. But all those have costs associated with them. And we have a limited amount of money in use here. So I'm just questioning in terms of how we go through that process of setting parameters or, you know.
Mr. Smith.
Mayor and Council, by using both sides of the process, but an RFP usually looks at numbers, and an RFQ usually looks at professional skills and fit and temperament and all of that. By using both sides of that, you're really trying to get as much of the data as you can to make the most informed decision. So it's probably the largest look that you can have with the most data in order to try and create a comparison and reach a decision. So you're not just looking at qualifications, but you're also looking at some hard numbers to make a decision.
Well, also, there's a given, and that is you shared already what some of the money that we have, and certainly a proposal that's considerably larger than, more grandiose, was certainly something that would not be feasible. So,
it may not.
Hopefully we're, you know, that's,
well, but that's
a
our
factor as well. So,
well, that's where the council and the citizens come in, is making those decisions.
Yeah, I would see this as a process where they would be aware it's going to be competitive.
Yes.
And they would be aware of what we have in the bank.
Yes.
And so we can review their proposals and go from there.
Yes. Ms. Klein, yes, ma'am.
You know, of all the proposals that we have before us, I think this is the only one.
and I wouldn't have put a question mark behind home sweet home. It is home. And we're right, the employees need to have their own space.
Okay.
Because they, you know, the county's been great to us, but they still feel like guests, and I think when we started paying rent is when we quit being guests.
Yeah.
And I think going out for the RFPs and RFQs for this building is probably the right thing to do.
Well, that's what I'm requesting. And by the way, the question mark is not whether it's home sweet home, it's whether this is the best choice. And so you've answered
that's
what
that. I'm saying. No question mark, it is.
Mr. Higgins, did you, oh, just a minute. We're done with the council, Brad, and then we'll jump to you. Just a minute, Brad. Mr. Higgins.
we need to get out of here for the city employees and for the citizens. This is inconvenient, and the sooner we can do that, the better. Of course we want to save that building if we can. You know, I think there's no doubt about it. It's been our home for a long time, and I really liked that building, really loved it, and the council chambers there were small and intimate, and I liked that, and we had good attendance there. I understand about the RFP and the RFQ. The other thing I have a question about is, I was told that the USDA has funds available for rural municipal buildings, and so I don't know if that would be an option to maybe find a way to sweeten the pot here a little bit. I don't know if that's a possibility or not. And of course we don't know until we actually get some bids back from architects and builders. We have no idea what this is going to cost us. It'd be wonderful if we could do it with the insurance money, but at the same time, is it possible that we could start looking into to this USDA or anybody else that has money available to help us out?
We have.
You have been doing this also?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Okay, Mr. Edwards, your please. Welcome, sir.
My name is Brad Edwards. I am a resident of Warren, 500 Center Avenue. There's an age-old saying of nothing succeeds like success, and of course the other side of the coin is nothing fails like failure. Well, Bisbee has been a sort of a downward failure spiral for quite a while. I think it sort of hit rock bottom, I think, with the old city manager that immediately preceded our current one, and I thought that was about as low as it can go until the city hall burned down. That was about the lowest, and of course, Alcoholics Anonymous, it means you have to hit rock bottom before you can start up. Well, I think we hit rock bottom, so it's time for us to start on the upward spiral of success, and I think that the city hall, the old city hall, will be a great metaphor, a great symbol of our rise back to success again. I believe myself that home sweet home is really good. I think that it will provide a vision. It will be a means by which Bisbee can participate with many communities around the country that have been salvaging and turning all their old buildings into assets. And I think that we certainly can do that. I don't want to give a plug for anybody. I just want to make sure that when the bids are sent out or the invitation for bids are sent out, I don't want it to be restricted to these particular people, but I want to make sure that they are not excluded either. That would be Ben Lepley with Ball, Paul Reimer, Bob Vint. I read a proposal that they had, and it sounds pretty good to me. Of course, there are plenty of details that haven't been filled in, and I think we need to do that. But I think that these people need to be included in the process. Of course, that doesn't mean they're going to be chosen during the bidding process, but I just want to believe that their vision is pretty close. I think it's going in the right direction anyway. It's not exactly, you know, what I would want to see, but I do think that we need to look at these proposals. I think, for one thing, being able to retain the old walls is really a major asset. As I said in an article that I read sent to the Observer, those old walls would be great for keeping the building cool in summer and hot in winter and resisting weather, which will more than pay for retaining the walls and not having to go to that added expense to get that protection is something that those walls can certainly provide too. And we can certainly modernize the building within the proposal that these architects, and I'm sure plenty of other architects that are not only good architects in terms of their own particular field, but also in terms of historic preservation. I think that we can do a lot with that building, and they came up with a price tag that isn't much bigger than the amount of money we have, about $2.8 million they estimate right now. Of course, it's an informal estimate, and of course, the bidding process will have to be used to get the request for payment will have to be used to get the exact figure of what the total cost will be. But I really think that we need to really look at modernizing and utilizing what we have in the remaining walls of the building. So that's
Thank
all
you.
I have to say.
Mr. Lefley's in the audience, so I think he got your point. And we will make sure that all of our local architects are aware of this, Mr. Airprince. Joni Giacomino. Welcome, Ms. Giacomino.
Hi, Joni Giacomino. I grew up in Warren, and this has been an integral part of my childhood and my previous relatives. It's the second or oldest building in the Warren District. So it would be nice to see if you could find the funds that are generally out there for many of the places that have been rebuilt after fire throughout the nation that have for historic building grants, and like he was saying, the USGA grant. There's some other federal grants that I had seen out there that might be able to sweeten the pot for that. It would be terribly sad to see this building destroyed. There are many buildings throughout the nation that have been restored after a major fire. Colorado just had a large historic area burnt out, which they came back in and made a facade out of the wall, not necessarily made it the main building, but built within the old structure to keep that historic site there in their district. So. I would appreciate as a citizen, as I think many of the people from Bisbee would appreciate, to see that building or even the shell of the building remain for its historic value because it is an integral part of Warren and has been for over 100 years. So anyway.
Thank you. Lucci Giacomino. Welcome, Ms. Giacomino.
Thank you. My name is Lucci Giacomino. At least that's what I answer to. And I was not born in Bisbee. I was born in Southeast Texas. And I got real smart at 9 months old, and I moved to Bisbee. And I have been nowhere else since. Never wanted to be. This is my town. It's my hometown. Never wanted to go anywhere. That building down there was built, I believe, in 1905. I believe it's the only building older than the Warren Ballpark. Those walls, the outer walls, are 2 foot by 2 foot. The thinner walls on the top is when they added that new roof on, the thinner cement walls. When that building was built, people really knew how to mix concrete, and I believe that those are stable. The walls, the old walls are stable, and they can clean up the asbestos and give us back our city hall. Don't destroy that building. You'll be destroying Bisbee piece by piece by piece. We need to keep that because it is a landmark, and it was a great city hall. And I'd appreciate it if you'd really think about it, because it can be done. And other than that, it should be done. We should have that building restored for the future. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Anderson.
Good Judy Anderson, 611 Hopeton. So Mike and I live about a block and a half away from the old City Hall, and when I first moved here, I worked for Siegel, and that's where I worked. I want to strongly support finding some way to maintain at least the walls of City Hall. When we worked on the Warren survey, the City Hall is one of the most important contributing factors to the historic district, maybe second to Warren Ballpark, but I'm a little biased. But I do want to support your proposal to go out for an RFQ, RFP, and I want to thank Anna, too, for saying how valuable it is to us. And I will add that when we built the restrooms for the ballpark, we did use USDA funds. Mm-hmm. We had to have matching funds, which you do, but it's quite possible that you could get some money through USDA. In any event, thank you. I appreciate the consideration to find someone who can design a way to keep the building or at least some of the exterior walls.
Thank you, ma'am. Anything else? Yes, Mr. Jenkins.
I wanted to defend that building over on Tolbertville Road a little bit. I haven't been in that building in a while, but I was in that building on and off a bit when it was CASA. And you know, we need to get out of here. And I realize that building is not a perfect building, and it does need some work. But if we could, you know, I don't want to dismiss it because it may be an option that would allow us to get out of here quicker. And it may not be that pleasant a place, particularly if your office is behind the jail cells where the bars are, you know. It may not be the most pleasant place to be. But by the same token, you know, I don't want to dismiss that out of hand because I think it is something that needs to be included because that might help us to make a move a little quicker. That's all I have.
Thank you, sir. Anything else, Council?
I just want to say that I think that the last option of going restoring the old City Hall is the best one. I have to say that my heart was absolutely broken sitting there watching that fire. And I'm a newcomer. I've only been here 17 years. But that building has just meant so much, and I obviously live in Warren. But I was so glad that, even though it took a while, because on all the different plans and all the different rumors that you heard, that we did come home. And so I'm very happy with that.
Well, that's why we don't deal with rumors, we deal with reality.
With reality.
Yeah, as far as walls and all that stuff, that's to be determined. We have engineering studies. The architects get those. It's not whether some other building in some other part of the United States was able to be saved. It has to do with this building and the structural integrity of this particular building from this particular fire. And so each one is a different situation based on the engineering studies. So we take those studies, the architects are going to have those studies in order to work off of, and that's what they're going to come back with the cost analysis. So we will keep our fingers crossed that all or most of those walls or some of them or whatever can be saved and integrated into a new building. But it's all I'm trying to say is it's not like going to be our decision totally whether it's saved or not. It's a whole package. So, Mr. Higgins.
In a lot of places, Toronto, for example, they've been saving the facade of a lot of buildings and then building a new structure behind them with that same facade. And that's always a possibility, too. It wouldn't be the same building exactly, but we could at least save the facade so it, you know, it would keep that historic aspect of it. So that's something
else. Awesome.
Right. Depending upon the architects, what they come up with.
Absolutely.
Really. Yeah. You know, whatever they think is feasible.
Absolutely. So may we assume that direction is being provided, Mr. Smith, to have an RFQ, RFP put out under the basic guideline as provided in the council action form?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And we can get that out as soon as possible. And I will make sure that all of us are all aware of the timing on this and where we're going. I'm going to take this presentation simply because it's got hard numbers in it, and we won't have rumors that I'm going to ask that this be pushed on our website. So this will be on the city website for you to go back and to look at the insurance numbers should you wish. And that money is sitting in the bank and is not being used to balance any of our budgets or anything else. So that has been untouched and remains untouched, as I promised. Yes? Well, but you are, so apparently you can. Alice, why don't you come up here so we can hear you? Shirley.
So I'm Alice Hammers. I live in McNeil, but I love Bisbee, and that's why I live in McNeil. But I was wondering, I saw Mr. Lepley's proposal, and I loved it, but I know there'll be other proposals, and I wonder if they could be put out to the community as well, so we get a feeling of what's happening as the process moves forward, and I very much appreciate your presentation. Thank you.
We will attempt, depends totally on how many proposals and so forth. But I'm certainly open to having public presentation, as I've already informed Mr. Lefley. All right. First of all, I want to thank everybody for being here. This is an important issue, I believe, to all of us. And I appreciate people coming out to get it right from, as they say, the horse's mouth rather than other means. So thank you. And with that, Mr. Higgins.
I move that we adjourn.
All those in favor of adjournment signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, same sign. We stand adjourned. Thank you.